Sí.
All right, I'm gonna run from the back of the stage and see. I'm just kidding. It's all right. We gotta have. I want to tell you how awesome it's been the past few weeks. The Vine Creative and the Vine Worship, they've been trying to get together. We've been trying to get the band started and get some things going. But what I love is, no matter what, everyone gives their all to God. So David came up here. He's been in band camp all week. Threw it out. Did an awesome job. So let him know we love him. Let the band know that isn't here that we're thankful for him. Because hey. I know it's not easy because they have to put up with me, and sometimes I try to come in with lead vocals, and they have to wash me out sometimes. I forget to leave the mic off. So anyway, I'm just thankful for them. And so on that note, here's the thing. Today, I really do want us to have some praise. So I want to know that you're excited to be in the house of the Lord today. So if you're excited, amen, clap, holler, whatever you got to do. But we're going to take a second. I want to hear some people that's excited to be in the house of the Lord today. So one, two, three. Just let it out. Yes, that's it. Right? Hey, no matter where you are, maybe you're watching online right now, if people think you're crazy, just show them a picture of me. They're going to be like, yeah, I know that guy. He's crazy. So it's okay. So today, I just want you to know we're thankful you're here. We're thankful to be in the house of the Lord, because here's the thing. We're going to give our best and watch God bless it, because that's all he's asked us to do. So today, I just want us to be free in that. So maybe you didn't worship this last song. I know David challenged you. Maybe you didn't just lose your face in worship. We got one more song. So worship. Let's have some fun today. Okay, if you got your Bible, I want to tell you, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles. We're going to set this up. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles 20. But here's the thing that we've been doing over the past few weeks. You're going to see a video here on the screen if you're watching online. We've been trying to set up this thing on the Bible app. So maybe you have your phone. How many folks have the Bible app on their phone? Ever heard of it? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. But it's okay. Sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I get a little crazy with scripture. So we want to help folks so you're not flipping back and forth through your Bible all the time, every time. So if you look up here, we're going to show you on the Bible app, we've actually been trying to create an event every week. And if you want to see what happens is you open your Bible app, you go to the More tab, those wonderful three lines, and if you click events, you're going to see the Vine Church live. You click events, you're going to see the Sunday worship experience from the Vine Church. What's really cool about this is when you click it, no matter what series we're in, it's going to tell you about the series, tell you how you can join us online throughout the week. You can take your personal notes there, and also it's going to have the scripture that we have during the service. So if you don't like flipping back and forth in your Bible all the time, this is a cool way for you to learn where everything is, because sometimes I get a little crazy and I preach from Habakkuk, and I know that it's crazy, right? Like I can get in a crazy book of the Bible you might not have heard about yet, or even today I'm going to be in 2 Chronicles 20, so you may or may not know where that is, and that's okay. We want to make a place where it's okay for you not to know. So if you've got the Bible app, you can follow us online. The one thing is make sure you have your location services on, so that way you can see the event is around you. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and begin in 2 Chronicles 20, and I'm going to be setting this thing up, okay? So over these past few weeks, been in this series called When Pigs Fly. We got one more week. And if you got to join us Thursday night, we even had pigs in a blanket because it seemed appropriate, right? So we made it happen, right? Like, we've been in this series called When Pigs Fly, and I can summarize it this way. The first week, we talked about God having power over darkness in our life. We talked about the miracle of deliverance, which can be really touchy and can be really crazy, but the miracle of deliverance is what we talked about. And last week, we talked about the miracle of healing. And if we look at that in our life, we talked about what it means to experience the miracle of healing. And so this week, I just want to set it up this way. How many of us have ever been in a situation where we said, God save me? How many of us got, like, pulled over by the police officer on the way here? God save me, right? Like, we can say their situation in our life. Maybe we were in college and we were out really late where we shouldn't be and we prayed God save us from the situation. maybe we were in the middle of a test and we totally blanked. Like, we had all the answers, we studied well, we're like, God save me, let me pass this test, God save me. Like, what we can relate to is all of us somewhere in our life has said, God save me. But I want to talk a little bit of a different angle as we talk about this miracle today of God's protection. We're going to be talking about the miracle of God's protection. I want to ask you this, and you can only answer this. You know the answer to this, and you can only answer it, okay? How many of us have asked for God to save us because we've been in the middle of a situation of our own disobedience? So I'm going to say that again. How many of us can say, God save us because we've been in the middle of our own disobedience? Sometimes that can be hard to do, right? And like David was saying earlier today, it takes a little bit of faith to walk through that. But see, we have to understand, for us to truly understand the miracle of protection and truly understand that God is our protector, we got to understand, even in our disobedience, God is working all things together for our good. And so today, I just want to dive into that because I think sometimes we can be in the middle of our own disobedience and be mad at God, when realistically, we should be thankful that God's protecting us, okay? So here's some things I wanted us to think about for this. Just remember, all the way through this, no matter where we are, before we walked into that situation, before we were disobedient, like I think of the prodigal son, we're not going to talk about that, that's another sermon another day. But even before the prodigal son took that step away from the father, God already had a plan to reconcile him back to him. So whatever you're going through, whatever midst, whatever circumstance you are, whether you're stepping in obedience to Christ or whether you're stepping away from Christ and you're trying to run from him, God's already got a plan to come after you. The question is, will you trust him as your protector? Will you trust his miracle of protection? Will you trust that he is actually saving you? Will you trust that? Or are you just going to be mad at everybody around you and mad at yourself because of that? So that's what I have for us today. So if you've got your Bible, we are going to be in that. We're going to be talking about this thing. And I just want you to rally around this sentence and just know this. Long before you face a problem, understand God already has a plan. Long before you face a problem, understand God already has a plan. If the problem's your disobedience, God's already got a plan to reconcile you. If the problem's your obedience, God's going to have a way to reconcile you. Even inside of that, I know it can be hard, the problems you face and following God. Like, how many folks here think that it's easy following Christ? Exactly. No hands go up because it's not. Like, it. Sometimes you can have obstacles. We talked about that in week one. So I want you to know, no matter what problem you're facing today, God has a plan. And he's got that through the miracle of protection. Now, a little shameless plug here. Next week, we're going to be talking about the miracle of provision. And if you think I'm excited today, I'm even going to be more excited next week. I've only had one cup of coffee today. And so I'm going to be excited next week. So I hope that you're going to be coming and joining us next week as we end our series, When Pigs Fly. So if you got your Bible, get to 2 Chronicles 20, and I'm going to set it up this way. So many of us have probably heard about this. How many of us have ever heard about protection and God's protection and the miracle of God's protection? Like, you've probably heard that. If you've ever been in church, you've heard of that, right? A lot of us probably go to this psalm. Has anybody ever read Psalm 91? Guys, thousands of hands have come up in here. Psalm 91, everybody knows what that is. It's crazy. It's an awesome, awesome psalm. But really, 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 what I'm getting at is Psalm 91 talks to us about God's protection, and David is writing here about God's protection. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is I've actually heard some missionaries that carry Psalm 91 in their pocket no matter what country they walk into. So we're going to start in Psalm 91, end in Psalm 91, and in between we're going to have 2 Chronicles 20. So hang in there with me, okay? So I want to start in Psalm 91, just verse 1 and 2, and it's going to say this. It's going to pop on the screen. If you're on the Bible app, you're going to see it, and then we're going to get to 2 Chronicles 20. And it says this: whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. How much freedom is that? The shadow of the Almighty. How many of us have enjoyed the shadow of an umbrella the past few days, right? Like, hasn't that been great? Like, we haven't got doused by all the rain and the craziness because we had an umbrella? Imagine how even greater the shadow of the mighty God, the creator of the universe, is. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. So as we're getting to 2 Chronicles 20, I started thinking about that today, and I started thinking about some things that we think about when it comes to protection. An umbrella protects us from wet weather. We can all agree from that. Over these past few years, it's my age again, so hang in here with me, this newfangled technology, right? All of our phones probably have some kind of case on it. It's called a what? Oh, don't give me a gopher or whatever it is. It's called a protective case, right? Like we have some kind of protective case, especially on the glass because that breaks really easily, right? Like we have a protective case. I think about when we go down the road, what is it that we put a child in if we do it right? Okay, car seats. Y'all, we're going to go to the fire department after and everybody's going to get tested for car seat awareness. Like this is going to be crazy. Like we have the protection of a car seat. Like we make a big deal out of what's protected, right? And let me even put it to you this way. We care so much about our money, we even have protection there too, right? It's called the FDIC, right? We hope that the government backs everything, right? Like if anything crazy happens, our money is protected to a certain extent. And here's what I want you to rally around is this thing today. We always protect what's valuable, right? Anything that's valuable to us, we protect. Anything. Like we probably, how many folks have a fire safe? How many folks have a safe? Like somebody's got something and you've got your valuables in there. You've got something protected. It's under lock and key. Yet so many times in our walk with Christ, we don't think that he's protecting us. We forget our value. We forget he is with us. He is for us. And so today we're going to actually be in the Old Testament learning about that. So just a reminder, what is a miracle? A miracle is when God intervenes on your behalf. So as we're talking about the miracle of healing, remember, a miracle is when God intervenes on your behalf. When God intervenes on your behalf. That is what a miracle is. So let's dive into 2 Chronicles 20 as we talk about the miracle of healing. The miracle of healing. And if you're taking notes, I'm probably going to help you out here. We'll get to all the points. Sometimes I have them before, sometimes I have them after. So it may not pop on the screen, but if you're taking notes, I want to go ahead and give you the point, is when we experience the miracle of healing, we got to understand about this God, about this, understand this about God. I'll get it out in a minute. Understand this about God. There we go. Deep breaths. Understand that God will defend you. Okay, so if you're taking notes, it'll get up here in a minute. We're going to put God will defend you. We'll put it after the scripture too. If it's not popping up online, don't freak out on me if you're type A. I'm type A too. I just want to give you that, understand this miracle of healing that God will defend you. So here we go. 2 Chronicles 20. First point, God will defend you. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites. What a cool name. Isn't that what we call selfies today, the Meunites? Anyway, it's all right. Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came to Jehoshaphat and said, a vast army. Not just an army, but a vast army. How many folks have had a vast amount of bills to pay, a vast amount of kids to manage, a vast amount of problems to walk through, a vast amount of things in our life? Vast usually means overwhelming, right? So like an overwhelming army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. If you take notes or you highlight your Bible, just remember the things about the Dead Sea, right? Like the Dead Sea is an important thing. It's really cool. The Dead Sea, you can still float in it today, I think, for a little bit longer. I think there's enough salt in there that you can float in the Dead Sea, right? Just remember the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazon Tamor. That is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, if I'm completely honest here, like I said, the point is, remember, in the miracle of protection, God will defend you. So defend you. God will defend you. We're going to talk about what God will do in this. God will defend you. If I'm completely honest here and I'm Jehoshaphat, I'm probably asking where God is, right? Because Jehoshaphat is leading God's chosen people. God's chosen people. They are in the promised land. These are people, Jehoshaphat's about to talk about it in a second. These are people that God told them not to attack. You think God didn't know they were going to try to attack them so long ago when that happened, when he told them don't attack these people when you go inhabit the land? And yet here they are coming against them, the people of God. Like if I'm Jehoshaphat, I would say, where is God? Sometimes maybe we can be stuck there. Maybe the vast thing is our bills. Maybe the vast thing is our kids, our career, whatever's happening in life. We can be overwhelmed with such vastness that we want to ask, where is God? And so I wonder how many times do we do what Jehoshaphat did? Do we call the Ghostbusters? I mean, Who do we call? Jehoshaphat brought all of Jerusalem together. He brought all of Israel together to call on the Lord. And I will tell you, in my brokenness, sometimes that's the last thing I want to do. Like, I'm going to look and say, okay, we didn't get this done today, so I'm going to go do this, 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 and this, right? Like, how many people are there? How many people like doing that? Like, I'm going to check these off. I'm going to get these done because we're missing this. So therefore, this vastness has come against me. I'm going to take it in my own power, and I'm going to control it myself, and I'm going to go do this. But what Jehoshaphat did here is he understand that God defends you throughout this miracle of protection. And in God defending you, praise God for air conditioner, in God defending you, all of a sudden he knows that he's got to bring the people of God back to God. And yet so many times when I look at Jehoshaphat, I'm like, this is awesome, but I don't feel like him. When I see the vast army approaching, I'm just like, all right, how many people I got? One, two, three, like, I feel like I'm playing the Monstars, right? Like, I'm looking for MJ. Like, I'm Bugs Bunny. I'm looking for MJ. I'm counting. And then I look, and I see vast armies coming against me. And I'm like, where are you, God? Like, I've been obedient to you. I've been doing what you've called me to do. Like, where are you? How many people have been there? How many of us are there right now? How many of us are there right now? And so my question is, if we understand that God is going to defend us, then what do we do? Because here's the thing. I know that all of us can say we've been disappointed with God at some point. I would say that Jehoshaphat's probably disappointed with God at this point. Like, he's even going to God, but he's just like, man, what the heck is going on? Like, I've got a vast army coming against me. Like, I'm going to bring all these people together. Have you ever tried to fast with anyone? How many folks have ever tried to fast with anyone? All the healthy folks raised their hand. I'm working on it. But, like, how many of us, I've fasted before. It's not always the easiest. But how about getting an entire nation to fast? Like, what if the president of the United States got up and said, America, I'm declaring a fast. We're closing down. How great would that go? It would be chaos and panic in the streets, right? Like, if Krispy Kreme was closed for a day here in Spartanburg, I bet there would be chaos in the streets, right? Like, it would be nuts. And yet, he brought all these people together. So I could say that sometimes in our life, we've probably been disappointed with God. We've probably been let down. And Jehoshaphat might have felt that at this point. And yet, so many times we can get stuck there, right? Like, maybe it's this way. Maybe you've been disappointed in the church. How many of us have been there? You felt let down by the church. You're probably mad at God about the church, right? And so what do you do? What do you do about that? So many of us say, forget this. We're just going to go do something else, or forget this, forget them. Hey, we're all guilty of it. But yet Jehoshaphat didn't. Jehoshaphat said, hey, no. When we feel like we're drifting from God, we're going to come closer to God, and we're going to see what God has for us through this. This vast army, these things that are coming against us, we're going to go to God and see what he would have for us. We're going to bring our best and see how he blesses it. Yet so many times I will tell you, it's funny how we quit church when this happens. We stop praying. Our prayers are a little different, right? Like, when the vast army comes, you're thinking, well, God, you're going to let them overtake me, right? We throw our hands up and say, this is as good as it gets. We ask God, will it ever get any better? And all of a sudden, we say, fine then. I'm going to show God how to do it. Anybody else been there? Man, a bunch of holy people here, they haven't been here. So, for me, I'm just preaching myself, apparently, because I'm going to tell you for real, I've been there. God, if you're not with me, then I'll show you. I'll show you how good I can be. That's how I know God has a sense of humor, because he laughed really hard when I do that. And he just gets a chuckle. He gets a chuckle out of it. And so, I wrote this down, and I want to ask you this, and only you can answer this when I told you. Remember, wherever you are today, no matter what problem you face, God has a plan. I just want to ask you this. How many of us have gone from where Jehoshaphat is? We've declared the name of God. We've decided to lift his name on high. And then all of a sudden it changed and a vast army came against us. And what I wrote down to this is for me, I just want to share this with you. Sometimes we pray God would have mercy on us, and then we turn around and tell him it's not good enough. Let me put it to you this way. Isn't it funny how when you first met Jesus and you stepped into serving, you didn't care who noticed you? When you first met Jesus, you didn't care what people said about how you read your Bible. You didn't care about what people said about how you prayed. You just cared that God saw you. It wasn't about your brand. It wasn't about you. It wasn't about how great you are. It wasn't about how great you're moving. It was literally about, hey, I'm doing this in obedience to God. Right?
Like, remember that. You remember that. But yet, as you grow in your walk, we all grow in our walk. All of a sudden, when God has his gracious mercy on us and he calls us deeper into his promise, a vast army comes against us, a vast amount of circumstances, a vast amount of roadblocks, a vast amount of hurdles. And we say, God, where are you? What's going on? It's because we forgot that God will defend us. And so today, maybe that's where you're stuck. I want you to know, no matter what, God will defend you. And if you're doing what he's called you to do and be obedient to him, you don't have to declare a fast unless he calls you to do that. And if you do, just let me know how it goes on the back end. That's awesome. I'm going to pray for you through that. But if you do a fast and God declare, and you're declaring a fast, just understand the whole point of what Jehoshaphat's doing is coming back to the Lord, because he knows where his protection comes from. So maybe that's where you are in your walk. Maybe your walk with Christ, I don't know if you followed with him for 2 years, 20 minutes, 20 years, whatever that is. Maybe you don't know who he is, and that's cool, but I think you can get something through this. I think you can understand that there's a moment where you've asked where God is, and I just want you to know, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that's enough. That's all you need. Nothing else. Not names in shining lights. Not followers, not viewers, not the best Bible verses that have been on there, not the best images, not the best everything. Just be obedient to what God's calling you to do, and you will live out him defending you. So today, as we have the miracle of protection, I want us to be like Jehoshaphat. I want us to go to him. I want us to seek help from the Lord and him alone. And when we do that, man, the blessing that will flow. Man, the blessing that will flow. But when we seek help from ourself, we'll never take over this vast army that's come against us. Next thing, continuing on. I'll get there. Continuing on in this Second Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat goes, he stands in front of the house of the Lord, and then all of a sudden he understands that the second thing God will do is he's going to guard you. Once again, that'll be there. It'll be, it's on the screen here. It'll hopefully be online for you. If not, we'll make sure that you have it afterwards. But the second point, so the first thing we got to understand in this miracle of protection is God will defend you. The second thing that will happen is God will guard you. So Jehoshaphat understood God will defend you. He's the only one my help will come from. So how was God going to guard him? And I love what Jehoshaphat says right here in front of everyone in Israel. He just, man, he lays it down like if this is his halftime speech, y'all. Like, this is the comeback win. This is the moment where he comes into the locker room. Everybody's all down. The score's down. Like, there's no way we're going to overcome a 17-point deficit and win a state championship. I'm just saying. But anyway, like, there's no way we're going to come down. This is his moment. Like, he's standing up. This is where he leads Israel deeper into God's promise. And this is what he says. And, man, I wish I had faith like this. God, I wish I had faith like this. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or the plague of famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name. Time out. No matter what happens, God, we will be in your house. No matter what happens, no matter how I feel, no matter what I'm walking through, no matter how disappointed I am, I will be in your house wherever that is. Remember Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? That's one of the most quoted Psalms. Jehoshaphat's dropping that here. He's saying, hey, no matter what happens, God, we will dwell in your house and we will cry out to you in our distress. And you will hear us and you will save us. How many of us can rest in that today? Sometimes the last thing I want to do is cry out in my distress, right? Especially as a man, don't we have that on us? Our pride. How dare I cry out in distress? I've got this. You know, I've got it. We get all muscled up and take our HGH or whatever it is the kids take nowadays to get bulk. And we think we've got it all on our own. But instead, Jehoshaphat leads it, and he knows that God will guard him. And he says, we'll cry out to you, Lord, in our distress. You will hear us, and you will save us. But now here are men, this is where Jehoshaphat's human and I love it, from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? Oh, man. If we could just live from this right here, this sentence right here, if this doesn't give you freedom today, nothing will. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. How many of us could say that we live that every day? I wish I could. So many times I see that army and my eyes aren't on him. My eyes are on the army. My eyes aren't up. And it's not from where my help comes from. It's actually like right out here. And I'm like, oh my goodness, look at all this craziness that's happening. Look at all this chaos. Look at all this I got to deal with. Oh my God. Bah, and I just spaz out and I'm just going crazy, right? And Jesus is like, hey, I'm where your help comes from. Don't forget that. Jehoshaphat knew that. He goes on to say, all the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. You see, sometimes I wonder what our motive for protection from God is. Because it should be two things. A point inside a point. The motive for God's protection for us should be two things. We should want to complete God's purpose and live for God's glory. We should want to complete God's purpose for our lives and live for God's glory. That's it. Because he has a plan for us. So what is Jehoshaphat saying? How did he complete God's purpose? He says, hey, we're in the promised land. We're in the place that you told us to be, and we didn't attack these people, God. All of a sudden, these people that you told us to hold back from attacking and slaying now is coming against us, and now they're going to repay us by taking what you've already given us. Almost sounds like a two-year-old, right? I feel that way sometimes. It's mine, mine. Like, isn't that the favorite word? Mine. They're coming against us. But he understood that they had to complete God's purpose because he understood they had no power to face that vast army, but their eyes were on God alone. And so how do they live for God's glory? Because their eyes were on God alone. So let me boil it down in this way. Have you learned this yet in your walk with Christ? God alone will meet my needs. God alone will meet my needs. That's how he guards me. No man on this earth, no woman on this earth will ever truly satisfy my soul. They will never complete me. Never. Sorry, Jerry Maguire. Sorry, mini-me. Like, whatever that is, you know. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. God alone will meet my needs. So my question is, when I talk about God guarding you, is he knew that this army was going to come against Israel. And in this moment, if you've ever studied the nation of Israel, you understand that all of a sudden, he's put up guardrails to where they did an attack so that they would come back to him in this moment so that he could deliver them and protect them from what they were going through. And yet so many times, I've got guardrails in my life and I get mad about it. Hey, God, you told me to go take this territory at this time. I didn't go against this army. And now you're fighting against me. What the heck is going on? Like, God, where are you? I start doubting him. And when I start doubting him, I stop praying. And when I stop praying, I stop completing his purpose. And when I stop completing his purpose, I stop living for his glory. And so my question is, will you trust and believe that God will guard you, that he has life, he has purpose for your life? Because so many times we could see this as misery. If I had an army attacking me, wouldn't you be miserable? Well, maybe you would watch it and you would laugh. But if you had him attacking you, wouldn't you be miserable? Isn't that misery? You know, misery is really being separated from God. And at that moment in time, Israel wasn't with God, lock, stock, and barrel. And he had to bring them back to him. And Jehoshaphat had to lead that. And he brought a vast army of circumstances, a vast army of situations, a vast army of roadblocks against them so that they could be going back to him to understand that he was guarding them. And so, I wonder if we would trust that. Will you trust God's guarding you? Do you know, once again, long before you have a problem, that God has a plan? Will you trust that? Because if you do, man, I want to talk to you because I struggle in that sometimes. When I see a problem, I want to solve it. That's just who I am. You know, kind of like MC Hammer or, you know, just make it, I'm just kidding. If I see a problem, I want to solve it. Like all of a sudden, like, right? Vanilla Ice, right? He revolves it with the DJ. Anyway, if I see a problem, I want to solve it, right? But yet, so many times I just have to trust that God has a plan. And so every time that I've trusted God with a plan, I understand that no matter what misery I may walk through, if I'm walking closer to Him, it's always going to lead to blessing. And following God is just that. It ain't perfect. It ain't rose petals. Sometimes it's dark. But you know what happens in the dark? Growth. You know what happens in the misery? You grow closer to Him. You know what happens in the misery? You know where your help comes from. Because you see things fall off. You know, like in the fire, things fall off. The impurities fall off. That's what God said He does by building you, is in the fire. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's hot, right? The fire's hot, right? But yet it's for your good. So I just want to know, will you trust God to guard you? The last thing that we're going to look at is, if you're taking notes, keep you. So God will defend you, God will guard you, and God will keep you inside of this miracle of protection. I'm going to hang in here. There's going to be a lot of them, so we're going to take a deep breath, all right? I'm going to start in verse 15. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Jerusalem and Judah. This is what the Lord said to you." How many of us face this? "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God." And if you're taking notes, maybe you have your Bible, I would circle this. Tomorrow, march down. Maybe you're facing circumstances today that God's not going to take away from you till tomorrow. Will you trust that He'll do it, or will you stress out about it all night? Because your boy right here likes to stress out about it all night more than I want to admit. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have it all together. I would rather stress out and be like, "All right, God, we're going to solve this tonight. Like, let's get this done tonight. We're going to figure it out tonight." And He's just like, no, trust me. The battle's mine tomorrow. March down tomorrow. Will you trust Him for tomorrow? Right now, tomorrow is Monday, right? Like Monday, we start a new week, we start a new everything. Will we trust God that the battles and the vast army that is brought against us today, that the battle is His and we're going to be able to face it tomorrow? Or are we just going to be stuck in our misery, stuck in the mire, ask God where He is, stress out all night, be literally miserable instead of trusting Him? "Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz," awesome names, "and you will find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle." How cool is that? You mean I ain't got to sweat? Nice. Like, I don't have to do anything. I can just trust God to do this. That's awesome. "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem." What I love about following Jesus is this, before we finish off, because He's going to remind them what they have to do again, is He never says, "Sit back while you see me deliver you." He said, "Stand firm and watch me deliver you," which means we don't cower away from what God's called us to do. If He's called us to go against a vast army, we've got to trust that the battle is His to win. If He's got some circumstances in our life, the school year, some tests, some financial issues, some relational issues, whatever He's got and the enemy's throwing against us in our life, He never told us to back down from it. He said, "Stand firm in it and know that I will deliver you." But the only way we do that is if we're trusting Him. And so my question is, are we trusting Him through it? Do we know that He has a plan? We quote that verse all the time, Romans 8:28. "For all things work together for the good for those called according to God's purpose," right? But like, so many times it's such a cliche, like, because it makes you think that everything's peaches and rose petals and rainbows and all this crazy stuff. That's not what following Jesus is about. Sometimes, even though the battle is yours, you still have work to do by being obedient and standing firm that the battle is not yours. So the question is, do you trust it? Will you trust God for your protection? Jehoshaphat did, but even though he trusted it, God still knew that he was scared, because he tells him, he said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged." And then he goes on and says, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged." He's got to tell him twice. Go out, face them, when? Tomorrow. So I can't face them tonight. So they got to surround my city tonight. While I'm supposed to be eating dinner, enjoying time with my family, these circumstances got to surround me tonight. While I'm While I'm spending time with my family, this circumstance has got to surround me. While I'm struggling in my job, these circumstances got to surround me. I can't go into it till tomorrow. He reminds them, hey, don't be afraid or discouraged. Tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. It's easy to know that the Lord's with you on Sunday. Will you trust he's with you on Monday? What about Wednesday? Will you trust he's with you on Wednesday? Good old hump day? Will you trust that? It's hard for me to do that sometimes. Because when I look at the week, like I'm a planner by nature, but where God's always worked in me is I'm a planner by nature. But once I get there, if it don't happen, it don't happen. And sometimes I can seem nonchalant, but I'm just real because it's all God's. The battle is all God's. Whatever happens, happens, and I just have to trust him. But so many times in my life, I don't want to deal with tomorrow. I don't want to trust him for tomorrow. I want to take care of it now. I want to take care of him today. Remember how we started this? Have you ever prayed, God, save me? Have you ever been out too late where you shouldn't have been? Have you ever been pulled over by the police officer knowing you were going 75 and a 35, praying to God that he saved you in that so that you didn't have to pay higher insurance and have those points taken off, right? Like, have you ever been in a situation where you just prayed for God to save you and he says, hey, I'm going to save you, but you're not going to see it happen till tomorrow? Faith. Faith to know that the Lord will be with you. He goes on, and this story is going to go on. Jehoshaphat, at this moment, could have been mad at God and just been like, tomorrow? Like, really, you're the God of deliverance tomorrow. So when you go to lunch today, imagine the waitress tells you you're going to get your meal tomorrow. How are you going to feel about that? You're going to be pretty mad, right? She ain't getting no tip, right? Or he ain't getting no tip, right? Hey, Jesus says tomorrow. So if I'm Jehoshaphat, I'm going to be like, good Lord. Lord, it's going to be a long night, right? No. He bows down his face to the ground, and all the people of Jerusalem and Judah fell down and worshiped. So in the in-between, they worshiped. In the in-between of God delivering them, they worshiped. They took a moment to worship. Do we take moments to worship in between God delivering us when he promises us that he will be with us, he will guard us, he will defend us, and he will keep us? Do we worship or do we worry? I wish I could tell you I worshiped all the time. I wish I could tell you I was like Jehoshaphat and I fell face down to the ground and I worshiped my face off, literally, like, yeah, like Jesus. No. I'm usually like, okay, so we're only going to get 12 things done today, and I needed to get 20 things done today, so we're just going to go ahead and check that off, and we're going to carry that over, and then we're just going to keep going, right? Like, I keep getting stuck in that, and then I stress out about the 8 things I did and forget the 12 things that I did, and I think that they weren't important, and I get stuck inside myself. What if we knew that the only thing that stopped us from being deeper in a deeper relationship with God and a deeper relationship by worshiping him was ourself? We have to get over ourselves in this if we understand that God is our protection. Will we get over ourselves? Will we understand that it isn't about us? Will we get over the fear of being discouraged and dismayed? Or will we fall down on our face and worship and say, God, you are my deliverer. You alone are the one that will save me. Because for a moment in time, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you did that. Yet as you traveled along somewhere on this road, you thought you had it. I thought I had it, right? We all thought we had it. But yet our worship will show us that our worry doesn't matter. So they fall down in worship. Then some of the Levites and Korahites, we're going to keep on the story, Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Faith again. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing. Praise God, we have men and women to sing in this church that are amazing. Praise God. Praise God and amen, because if it was me up here, y'all would, He appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness. They went out to the head of the army. So hold up. The worship team went out first, not the army. So everything God's put at your disposal, he always wanted you to start with worship first. Every weapon he's given you to defeat the army starts with your worship. Will you trust that? I told you I want you to lose your face in worship today. We're about to have moments for it here in a minute. Like, no matter what you're walking through, will you start with your worship or will you start with your worry because of the weapons you don't have? Because when you worship God, you'll realize you got everything you need. They began to sing, and it says this, but they went ahead and they praised him for the splendor of his holiness. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying this, "Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever." They began to sing and praise. And as they sang and praised, I wonder if it was like this. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. And then all of a sudden it was just like, give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever, because these ambushes came. Like these, they saw all these things that were coming against them. And like they started losing their mind in worship. I bet their hands were raised. People were losing their mind. But it probably started with just that itty bitty bit of faith. Like, it was just like, it's not my personality to sing. It's not my personality to go do this. But no, that didn't stop them. They continued to worship. And I think as they got louder and louder and louder, the ambushes got greater and greater and greater. And all of a sudden, as they got there, it says they began to sing and praise. The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah. And they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So picture this. The circumstances defeated themselves, because the people trusted that God had a plan. No matter what, the problems took care of themselves, because the people knew where to turn for their salvation. And if there's anything that we do as a church, that's the whole point of us as Christians. That's the whole point of the church, is no matter what problems we bring in this place, we know who holds the plan and the promise for that. And that's Christ and Christ alone. And yet so many times in our life, we want to talk about the struggle and the worry, right? And yet it says these things that tried to annihilate these people, they actually got annihilated themselves. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, boom, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No wood. No one had escaped. No one had escaped. You see, what God's been reminding me, and I'm just going to share this in my heart with you, is it's one thing to praise God when you see his power. It's another to praise him when you don't. These people started worshiping long before that battle. I wonder if you understood that God's preparing you for a battle. There are circumstances coming against you. There are vast circumstances that are coming against you to stop you. We talked about this in week one in the miracle of deliverance. God is bringing things against you to draw himself closer to you. The enemy is bringing things against you, and God is going to use that to draw yourself closer to him through this miracle of protection. But here's the thing. If you try to face it on your own, you will fail. You'll fail. 100%. You will fail. I wonder if we'll trust God in our worship, though. Can we say we've done that? Because it's real easy to worship when you got great music today. It's real easy to worship. My question is, on Wednesday morning on your way to work, when you got the radio blaring, are you worshiping God with it? Or are you not? Like, what's going on in your life? In the morning when you have that cup of coffee, are you worshiping God? And sometimes it might not be in how you sing. It might be in how you write. It might be in how he's called you to do something. Maybe it's how you go to school. Maybe it's how you lead inside your school. Whatever that is, I wonder if you would worship God. Because where we can get stuck here is we get outside of the miracle but never get outside of ourselves. We can get outside of the miracle and see God doing this vast army being destroyed. But the only reason that happened, that Israel could do that, is they got outside of themselves and understood that God, God alone, was their protection. And he would never leave them or forsake them. So I wonder if that's how we would attack the weak, how it would look different. Because here's the thing. Here's what God's been reminding me. And this is the thing about protection. And I remember this growing up in church. How many of us remember those prayers for hedges of protection, right? You think I'm going to start preaching about that, don't you? Have a hedge of protection on them as they travel in mercies, right? Hey, I'm not downing it. Whatever you got to do to God, that's you. But here's the thing that I want to tell you. What if you're praying for God for protection for one thing, but would you really see the miracle of the protection he's giving you and all the things that haven't happened in your life? I'll put it to you this way. When you leave today, you might be 2 seconds away from the wreck that would have killed you. When you go out to eat today, you might have been two meals away from the salad that could give you E. coli. When you go to school, you might be 2 seconds away from the craziness and chaos that could have happened. Why do we miss that? Doesn't mean that God's not protecting those people too. It just means that, hey, so many times when we get outside of ourselves, we can see that he alone is our protector and that he is our salvation. But yet we get so stuck inside of ourselves and want him to deliver us that we forget about how he's protecting everything and working all things for our good. You see, what opens my eyes up in worship is how many things he has protected me against. How many stupid decisions I've made in my life and my disobedience that he saved me from. Even when I didn't deserve it. Even when I knew I didn't deserve it. And the way that I worship will show the world his grace and mercy. And so as we end up, I just want you to know this. Nothing said the battle was easy. The vast army couldn't strike fear in the men of Israel. What we learned is this, to me, and this is something Jesus has taught me in this. That night for Israel was probably pretty miserable. Your circumstance right now is probably pretty miserable, isn't it? I don't know what it is. You know what it is. It might be a job. It might be kids. It might be a relationship. It might be finances. It might be career. Whatever that is for you, I'm sure it's something. And tears may come tonight. Joy comes in the morning, but tears may flow in the night. And I promise you, for Israel, Jehoshaphat was there, and I bet he had a crazy night. But instead of worrying, he worshiped. And I would tell you this, I would rather hurt in the will of God than take comfort outside of it. And I would love for you to be able to say that today. Will you hurt inside of the will of God, knowing that tomorrow the battle is won? Knowing that tomorrow God is going to deliver you? Knowing that no matter what you face today, God is with you. He will protect you. He's there with you. He'll defend you. He will guard you. He will keep you. The best promise I think that God has ever made to us is, I will never leave nor forsake you. Yet we don't believe that, do we? We think our works keep him close to us. We think if we read our Bible more, it keeps him close to us. We think if we do this or do that, and it's not about doing but being. If we just be in his presence, man, we'll experience deliverance. So I want to tell you this in the end. Psalm 91, I want to read this to you. And it goes like this. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you. From the fowler's snail and from the deadly pestilence, he will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall by your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in your hand so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow. I've seen that in missionaries' pockets as they go into countries. And they recite that. Wish I could tell you I had it memorized. I'm working on it. They recite that because Christ alone is our salvation. And I wonder today if you know that. As we get ready for this last song, I just want to ask you this. Who is your protector? Who is your protector? Is it McAfee virus safe on your computer? Is it your Fire safe? Is it your career? Is it your friends? Who is it that is your protection? Because it can only be found in Christ alone. And so as we get ready to worship, I'm going to beg you, if you have a relationship with Christ, worship your face off here. Because tomorrow's battles, God's already got. Today's battle, he's already got. And he just wants your worship. He just wants you to see him as your protector. So in this moment, worship. If you don't know who Jesus is, I just want to ask you, Would you trust him to be your protector? We're going to talk about what that looks like in a minute, but here's the thing that Jehoshaphat had that all of us can struggle with is if we don't have a relationship with God, we have no way to find true rescue and salvation from what this world has for us. Because it's going to come against us. And so, as we get ready to worship, I want to ask you, who is your protector? If you'll stand as we get ready to sing. Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you for lifting your name high. I pray that your name would be more famous today, that it would not be about us, that it would all be about you, and that we would see that you alone are our protector. You alone are our defender. You alone are our guardian. You alone will keep us. And nothing in this world could ever take us away from you as long as we know who you are. So no matter what circumstance we're going through, no matter what vast army comes against us, no matter what we put our hope in, I pray that, Jesus, you would let us see that our hope alone can lie in you. So in this moment, if we have hope in you, maybe we're overwhelmed with finances, maybe we're overwhelmed with circumstances, and right now it may feel like the worst time to worship. We may not feel like worshiping, but God, I pray that in this moment we would throw our feelings aside, and when we throw our feelings aside, we would worship you because you are a good, good Father. You are a good, good God, and you alone are our salvation. So no matter what, let us find you. Let us see you in a new way. Let us throw away our feelings. Let us not worry about what others think about us in this moment. Let us put our face to the ground and trust you and worship. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I'm the endless whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways us. You are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways to us. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, who you are, and I good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am, your good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are.
So as we get here at the end, I just want to talk to you. I said, who is your protector? Because see, here's the thing about this whole story. It's really easy to get lost in the translation, but I would challenge you, go back and read 2 Chronicles 20 at the end. You see, there was a valley between Jehoshaphat and the vast army. And God showed his protection in having a valley between the army and Jehoshaphat. And right now I want you to know that there's a valley in your life. If you don't know Jesus, what we all have in common is, whether we know Jesus or not, we are all sinners. And there is a valley separating us from God. And right now God wants to give you his protection against all that this life can throw at you, all that sin can throw at you, and what it will throw at you is death. There was a valley between them. He trusted God. He trusted God to fill the gap. And you see, God loved us enough that he made a way for us to cross that valley so that we could have his protection. He made a way, and his name is Jesus Christ. He lived the life we couldn't live, died the death we deserve for our sins, but loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we may have life. We could experience God's protection now through eternity. Yet so many times where we are right now, as I want to ask you, you know, where we can be stuck is, do you see the army in the valley and you get mad because it feels like they're continuing to close in? And maybe if that's you, maybe it's because you've never had a relationship with Christ. Maybe the reason the world overwhelms you is because you don't know where your hope lies. It's because your hope lies in crossing this valley by yourself and defeating this army alone. And I'm going to tell you, you can't. There's no way that you can work through that valley. There's no words you can say. We're going to pray a prayer in a second. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the faith that God alone will protect you. The faith that God alone made a way. Remember, when the problems come, God has a plan. He knew the problem of sin would be death, but he had a plan by sending his son for us. So I ask you, who is your protector? My question is, who is your savior? Money will run out. Health will fade. Family will pass away. The one thing that is eternal is Christ. Christ alone. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is your opportunity to declare that the Lord alone is my refuge. The Lord alone is my salvation. The Lord alone is my protection. He is my protector. Because see, he can't guard, defend, and keep those who aren't his. And so at this moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you, who is your Savior? Have you ever made that decision? Have you ever said that, hey, maybe there's something here that I need protection from? Maybe there's something here that's greater, and I want to tell you, it's Christ. So as you reflect in this moment, we're going to have everyone say a prayer. We believe in not praying alone in this house, and so we're all going to pray. But as you say this prayer, I just want you to be able to answer the question, who is Jesus? Who is my Savior? Who is my protection? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day. Come take over my life. Be my protector. Teach me to follow you step by step, the best way I know how, for the rest of my life. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're going to have an opportunity to respond here. We're going to count to three. There's going to be a way you can respond online or even in this house. So I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, and it's the first time that you can say that you have prayed to receive by faith Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to respond. One, two, three. If that's the first time that you have ever prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, make sure you click online, comment below, email us. We would love to celebrate with you. If you're in this house, we're going to celebrate with you right here. So if that's you and it's the first time that you have prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want you to know that He alone will not forsake you. He will keep you. He will guard you, and He will defend you. And for everyone else that's here, I'm going to ask us to lock it up because we know that folks don't pray alone here. So just get your arm around somebody. If they don't smell good or you don't like them, heaven's going to be a long time. So y'all can figure that out if you got that. And if you're married, y'all got something to talk about if you don't like being next to each other. We can pray for you in the garden after the service. We'll make that happen. But for everyone else here, I'm just going to pray for us this week that we would understand that the battle has never been ours, that the Lord has already won the battle. The Lord has already defeated all that has come against us. He's already defeated sin, death, and the grave. And what more could we ask for Him to do? And yet He still loves us enough that He's going to be with us step by step along the way. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to pray for us. Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to lift Your name high. Jesus, thank You for protecting us. Thank You for protecting us from ourselves. Because the thing about our sin is when we are always inside of ourselves, our sin will always lead to death. But when we get outside of ourselves and trust You as our Lord and Savior, we have nothing to fear. We are not supposed to be discouraged. We are supposed to be courageous because we know that the battle has always been Yours. And yet, Jesus, in our brokenness, Jesus, in our sin, our eyes can only see the vast army that's come against us. And we forget that You and You alone save. You and You alone are our protector. So Jesus, let our worship throughout this week be nothing but lifting Your name high, making Your name more famous, because Jesus, it's not about us. Jehoshaphat never said it was about him being the king, dear God. He reminded us that it was all about You and all eyes are on You. So Jesus, today and everything that we do and throughout this week, as You bring us back here safely next week, I pray that we would have our eyes on You and that every set of eyes we encounter will be pointed to You through us. Whatever vast army we're facing today, Jesus, let us just keep our eyes on You. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Okay, everybody, you know every week we say if you need to pray with someone, there. Imagine some leafy greens over there. There's a garden over there. We've got a gift for you if it's your first time or if you need to pray with someone. We just want to exchange information with you, and we just want to be able to pray with you. Or just say hello or get you the information you need. So go stop by the garden after the service. If you're watching online, email us at hello@thevine.tv. We'd love to get your information, pray with you, talk with you, whatever it is that we can help you through your next step in following Christ. Can't wait to be back here next week. We wrap up When Pigs Fly, Miracle of Provision. It's going to be fun. See you next week.